This is the Iran Human Rights Podcast, a closer look at human rights issues by the International Campaign for Human Rights in Iran. For the past 2 years, Dr. Ahmed Shahid has served as the United Nations Special Rapporteur on the situation of human rights in Iran. As a response to increased international concern about Iran's human rights crisis, to monitor and report on the situation in the country. We spoke with him last October, and since then, Iranian authorities have continued to criticize his reports, as well as deny him access into the country to conduct his research. Still, his work has been widely circulated, and this past month, the UN Human Rights Council voted to renew his mandate. In today's podcast, we'll speak with Dr. Shahid about his latest report, criticisms of his work by the Iranian government, and what he hopes to achieve in his next term. Dr. Shahid, thanks for speaking with me again.
It's my pleasure.
So let's start with an overview of your fourth and latest report. Can you outline some of your main concerns?
I'm very concerned about the worsening situation of human rights in Iran, especially in the lead up to the elections announced for June this year. I speak about the persecution of journalists and bloggers and others who are there to use the right to freedom of expression, the plight of human rights defenders, many of whom are languishing in prison, the reprisals on human rights defenders and others who have been accused of speaking to me, the question of widespread use of torture. I use a study done by a British NGO, Freedom from Torture, using the Istanbul Protocol. They did a forensic study of torture practices in Iran, which produced some alarming results. I continue to be concerned about the very high rate of executions in Iran, the number nearly 500 by my count for last year. And still, a large number of those who were executed continue to be, those convicted for drug offenses. So I remain very concerned about the use of executions, the higher rate of executions, and the manner by which the verdicts are reached. I also speak about the plight of women, especially concerns arising from new education policies that appear to be designed discriminate against women, especially in regard to access to higher education. So overall, I am increasingly disturbed by the picture of human rights in Iran, and I characterize this as one of widespread human rights violations which are systemic and systematic.
Now, the Iranian government hasn't been very supportive of your work. You haven't been allowed to enter the country to conduct your research, and they've routinely criticized your reports. But now they've gone so far as to accuse you of taking bribes from the United States.
They were making allegations that I received funds or bribes from the United States and Israel. And of course, these are totally baseless allegations. I am not the beneficiary of any funds from any government for anything. The United Nations, who pay for my fact-finding visits and for my costs for traveling to New York for General Assembly and to Geneva for the Human Rights Council. So I am not the beneficiary of any funds from any states, to the any governments to the work I do.
What do you think is behind these allegations?
I think those allegations are designed to discredit the report and try to avoid responding to the very serious issues that have been raised in the report. So rather than address the widespread human rights violations, alleged violations that are catalogued in the report, I think speaking about Israel and America perhaps serves a domestic audience in Iran. But I don't think this went anywhere in terms of addressing the issues that were before the Human Rights Council.
Let's talk about the upcoming presidential elections that are going to be held this June. In your report, you emphasize the importance of free and fair elections. You also talk about Mir Hussein Mousavi and Mehdi Karoubi, the opposition leaders who've been under house arrest for over 2 years.
I made this public statement in February this year, along with some of the other rapporteurs, calling on the immediate release of Mr. Mousavi and Mr. Mehdi Karoubi, because they've been now held for over 2 years in detention without a formal charge or without a legal process. And the UN Working Group on Arbitrary Detention had found that their detention was illegal. So, in fact, they should be releasing them forthwith. And going into an election with the key opposition leaders in detention isn't very helpful at all. And then you have, from January onwards this year, quite serious, if you like, you know, waves of arrests of journalists and charging them, apparently, with communicating with international news agencies and communicating with human rights organizations. Again, this shows a lack of tolerance for even the minimal standards of freedom of expression that you expect a country to have. And in an election year, these kinds of activities can really negate any sense of a legitimate free and fair election.
Do you anticipate any threat of violence like we saw during the 2009 presidential election?
I really hope not. But I think countries should understand that allowing free and fair elections, allowing a peaceful political process is an alternative, in fact, diffuses and prevents more impassioned, more inflamed political activities thereafter. In fact, the whole point of free and fair elections is to allow a peaceful negotiation of political contests rather than, you know, aggravating political tensions because of the absence. So I think all countries would recognize that elections are the time when people negotiate and decide on difficult political issues and therefore open a peaceful process. Having said that, I hope that there is peace in Iran. I hope that peace will prevail. And I pray for that because ultimately, if we didn't have peace, then the human rights situation gets worse.
Now, earlier, you mentioned that you were concerned about some recent academic restrictions placed on women.
In my current report, I devote, I think, the single biggest, the lengthiest treatment for any subject is on women's rights. I do, of course, note some positive developments over the past 30 years in regard to women's rights, and these include the achievements in higher education, the enrollment at primary and secondary schools, and also some of the positive steps taken towards protecting women's rights in terms of maternity leave and so on and so forth. But there's always been concerns on two issues. One is the fact that women are still denied from senior political roles, decision-making roles in the country. None of the Guardian Council members are women, and there hasn't been a single woman allowed to contest the presidency. So therefore, these are very serious, if you like, gender bars that prevent women from playing a much more active role in the politics of the country. At the same time, I'm also concerned that despite the very high level of education for women and despite the high rate of their activism in social activities, women are still not able to take part in the economic life of the country on equal footing. And the economic participation ratio is, in fact, very poor for women compared to that of men. So there have been continuing concerns about the political and economic role of women in Iran. On top of that, over the past 18 months, I've received reports that there's been a policy of segregating university programs. In fact, outright prohibition of some university programs for women. And the reports I have were some 77 fields of study across 36 universities being denied to women. And this, of course, the argument the government gives is in some of the fields of study, like, say, mining, there isn't a market demand for women. But nevertheless, that should not prevent women from coming forth to study the subject. And beyond that, I've got reports that even in humanities, there have been, if you like, you know, gender bars imposed against women's enrollment in these subjects.
Another issue you discuss in your report is the negative humanitarian impact of general economic sanctions on Iran. And you address the inefficacy of, quote, humanitarian exemptions made by sanction-imposing countries.
I do retain concerns about the potential for negative impact of general sanctions on the population. And this is drawn from previous experiences in other countries, although Iran hasn't got there yet. My worry is that the longer these continue, and the longer some of the issues are not addressed, then the situation would get worse. The problem is that I am getting reports that the humanitarian exemptions made by sanctions imposed in countries are not working effectively. So there are reports, anecdotal accounts coming out of Iran of shortages of essential medicines. But the problem for me is that I need to be able to verify this information from data given by the government of Iran, because I cannot document a sanctions impact the way I can document a violation, a torture victim's a grievance, because I need access to more systematic information across a whole range of national, if you like, activities for me to be able to determine whether a particular shortage is a result of a sanctions or some other policy of the government. But having said that, I think it is fair to say that when a country is exposed to general sanctions over the long run, then the people do suffer.
Your mandate was recently renewed by the UN. What are your hopes for this upcoming term?
What I do hope is that by being here, by continuing to report on Iran, I think Iran will realize that they have to get serious about addressing the issues that have been raised. So I anticipate that if Iran does not seriously address the issues that have been raised, there will be increasing concern expressed at the UN in New York as well as in Geneva. And because Iran is a country which cares about what is said about it elsewhere, also because it has a very highly educated population, I think it will be forced to review some of its policies and perhaps see how they can address the concerns.
Dr. Shahid, thanks again for speaking with me today.
No, thank you very much for your continued interest in Iran.
That was Dr. Ahmed Shahid, the UN Rapporteur on Human Rights in Iran. To read his latest report, you can visit shahidoniran.org. That's all for this edition. For more news about human rights issues in Iran, visit our website at iranhumanrights.org. Join us next time for the Human Rights Podcast. Thanks for listening.